Thank you, John Paul. That was a brilliant introduction. I'm sure if you were doing that promo when it was 12 degrees outside, you would probably be shaking and quivering, trying to stop from shaking to death. Just when you think it can't get any colder. I can't even remember the last time that I was outside and it was 12 degrees. I think one time I was in Virginia and the temperature was like 8 or 9 degrees and snow was everywhere, and boy, was it cold. But you know what? The car still would start at that temperature. I'm sure if you live up north, that's just, you know, commonplace with you. You know how to work around the details. I just knew it would be, the tires would be frozen to the pavement. They were not. This program is Health Essentials. I'm assuming I have a rather large audience this morning. You're probably not out sunbathing. Maybe you're going for a jog in your gym shorts. I doubt it. But you could be. There's some pretty tough people out there. So who knows? Maybe I have a lot of people listening and people that are highly motivated to take care of themselves. You know, I know this is a simple interpretation, but if you're interested in improving health, I think this is a good thing. Maybe you're reading books. I don't know how many people read books besides me and a few other people, but some people do read other than just looking on Facebook or playing computer games, stuff like that. But if you're interested in health and you like knowing information like this, then boy, this is good stuff. One of the articles that I read recently, and I don't have it in front of me right now, so please forgive me. So if I get the numbers just a little bit off, it's, you know, probably not going to be that big of a deal. But there was a very, very interesting study where they looked at the most aggressive form of brain cancer. And I'm telling you, there is just not a good outcome if somebody's been diagnosed with a form of a brain cancer called glioblastoma. It's just a very particularly fast-growing, aggressive form that I don't know that I've seen any good numbers with the use of either radiation or chemotherapy or other drug therapies or treatments, you know, from maybe, you know, medicine's perspective. And you could counter with, well, okay, wise guy, what does natural medicine have to offer? Well, there was a study done recently, and I think the way this worked was they used mice in place of humans, or what I should say, mice were the guinea pigs instead of humans, but they took human glioblastoma cells, just a real bad brain cancer, and they implanted them into the skulls or the brains of mice. So my mind's playing tricks on me. I should have looked at this again before I quote it. So let's just say, for example, the average lifespan of a mouse, a young mouse, once they had the brain cancer cells implanted into their brains, they lived on average about 28, 29, 30 days. Might have been less than that. Well, it's close to that. Let's just say close to 4 weeks. And this was just on standard Purina rat chow, mouse chow, whatever they feed mice. And then they tried a different technique. They tried oxygen and then a type of a diet called ketogenic. And this may be a new term to you, but for a lot of people listening, this is not a new term. You have read about ketones. You have studied them. You have looked into ketones as a source of improving yourself above and beyond what your physician has recommended to you, and I applaud you for that. But these mice on a ketone-rich diet, so they went from an average survival time of around 28 days. I don't know what your interpretation of it is of that, but that just sounds like a death sentence to me. So you give mice a glioblastoma, brain cancer, and they live about 28 days until they just succumb. It overtakes the body. Their body cannot function any longer. I think everybody has a pretty good definition of death. If you're not dying from a traumatic accident or an injury, then you realize you get to the point where your body can just no longer function. It just is worn out. The immune system is completely depleted. It's exhausted. It has no fight left. It is not able to rise to the occasion. All the cells and tissues begin to weaken. quite often, one of the criteria they look for when they put someone in hospice, which we're not here to talk about that. That's a whole different conversation. But they look for cholesterol levels to drop as a sign that the body is weakening, which in my mind, that kind of proves, you know, this doesn't sound really good to have low cholesterol. But anyway, but at 28 days, the mice are all dead. So instead of living an additional 215 days or 550 days, they're gone at 28 days. Okay? So you'd say that injecting the human brain cancer cells into the mice really shorten their life. Well, yeah, I think everybody's going to agree with that. But what happens if they inject the human brain cancer cells, but they put the mice on oxygen and a ketogenic diet? And one of the purposes of a ketogenic diet is to increase oxygen delivery to the cells. You know, sometimes I'm a little bit too wordy with my explanations. I know that. I want to get better. But would you agree with me that oxygen is a very useful element for human beings and mammals? Oxygen may end up being more important and useful than what we really realize. And see, you're probably taking for granted right now that because you're breathing, you're thinking, you know what, I'm getting plenty of oxygen. Maybe you even have one of those pulse oximeters or an oximeter where it measures oxygen saturation at the tip of your finger. I think there's pros and cons to that idea. But what I'm after is, you know what the fireman told me the other day? I should say the fire chief, that's probably more precise. He told me, he said, hey, oxygen, that's the greatest healer of all time. It's the greatest miracle drug. That's because he uses it every day. When they, make emergency calls and the ambulance shows up at your door and the paramedics, they give you oxygen, and all of a sudden there's a pretty quick recovery. Anyway, the question is, how long did the mice live when they were given hyperbaric oxygen, and in correlation with the oxygen, they were given a ketogenic diet? And to me, I feel like that's the word called synergy or synergistic. They work better together than they do simply. I don't know why we don't have hyperbaric oxygen treatment centers on every corner. They sell cigarettes on every corner, but not oxygen. The mice lived, how many days was it? Was it 52 or 57? But basically, they doubled their lifespan just on a ketogenic diet. That makes me wonder if consumption of fat might be one of the keys to restoring someone that's sick. Very, very, very interesting. All right. I think some individuals have been trying to get in, so let me go ahead and take a phone call. If you want to call me and ask a question, please feel free to do so. 903-586-5257. This program is Health Essentials. I'll tell you in advance, I'm very, very biased. If you're expecting me to tell you to take a toxic drug or a therapy that's proven to be worthless, well, you're calling the wrong program. I'm biased toward remedies that strengthen your cells and your tissues and your glands. Yep, they're called God's creations. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Hi, good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have a question about my daughter.
Yes, ma'am.
It's not related to where you were just talking right now.
Oh, that doesn't matter to me. The most important thing is she's your daughter.
Right. Yes. When she has her period coming, she suffers greatly. It's a few hours of very much pain. She has to go to bed, vomit. It's miserable.
Wow.
Yes. I was wondering, I don't know if I heard you saying this or someone else, or if I actually misunderstood, that the thyroid is actually involved in this. And I'm not sure if I'm saying right or wrong, so I was going to ask you what you think.
Besides these horrible symptoms she has with her period, is there anything else that you can think of that might make you question how well her thyroid is working? Any other clues?
Kind of like me, cold feet all the time.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, anything else? Let's see.
Is she like a normal weight?
Yes, okay. Yes.
Excellent. Do you mind if we tackle the first issue first?
No, sir, please.
Now, you do realize I have never had a menstrual cycle or period. You do know that, don't you?
Yes, sir.
But I have 5 daughters, and I have a wife.
Okay.
And I have 3 sisters, so, you know, I'm always, I think I'm probably, I would call myself female-oriented since I've been around women my whole life. So that's just my way of saying, hey, I like the idea of helping you. Let me give you 2 or 3 ideas, and we can flesh these out if you want to, but let me just, I don't want to be guilty of putting words in your mouth, but would you say that one of the main sources of the severe pain she has are just going to be spasms and cramps in that area?
Yes, sir.
Okay. There is, and I realize this is just an idea, but it can give her tremendous relief almost instantly. Sometimes it's amazing. It can work in like an hour or two. You know how I know that? I know that because I'm super smart. You know how I'm super smart? I ask a woman, how long did it take for it to work? And they say 1 to 2 hours. That I'm just joking. But there's an herb. And the herb is named very appropriately. It's called cramp bark.
Cramp what? I'm sorry?
It's cramp bark, like the bark of a tree.
Oh, okay.
And it's just called cramp bark.
Okay.
And so that may not answer every question that your daughter has.
Okay.
But if we give her cramp bark, let me just paint a picture here. Hmm. Let's just say that she has a very regular cycle that's in sync with the orbit of the lunar orbit, orbit of the... Yeah, exactly.
8 to 9 days, yes.
Okay, so if she's just spot on accurate, every 28, 29 days it comes back again, I'll tell you one thing that I would do if it were me. I would probably take cramp bark the day before she feels like she's about to start.
Okay.
And actually, see, that would be my interpretation of... Remember on the Andy Griffith Show, Barney used to say, nip it in the bud?
Yes, sir.
I tell you what, I cannot help but laugh to myself every time I think of some of the things he did on that show. That was just so funny.
Yeah.
I have read before that Andy had the hardest time when they were filming the program because Barney knew how to look at him just right to get him to crack up. It almost reminds me of the Carol Burnett Show with Tim Conway and Harvey Korman. I just thought that was so funny. That was the funniest part of the show when they were trying to crack each other up.
I bet so.
But anyway, if she were to take cramp bark just prior to the start of all, you know, the mayhem,
yes.
I think that's going to be moving in the right direction. The other herb that really comes to my mind that I think could really be a godsend to her is called chaste tree. And that is spelled C-H-A-S-T-E, just like the word chaste.
S-T-E. Okay.
Yeah. And if she started taking that right now, all we can do is find out if the outcome is a whole lot better.
Okay.
There's 2 other things that I'm a great fan of. Always thinking, just don't think of any of these things as panaceas or cures, because I'm not trying to presume that way, but boy, can they be great natural medicines. And the nice thing about these is there's no horrible side effects. I mean, yes.
Okay.
She can go and get a massive prescription of birth control pills, but there are problems with those. One of them would be severe gallbladder problems down the road. Another issue that I can read about over and over, and I'm telling you, it just makes me sick to hear about a young girl having a massive stroke as a side effect that she didn't, you know, really agree with the birth control pills so well.
Oh, my goodness.
So, I mean, those are very legitimate things that I would be concerned about, and I don't want my daughter having a stroke or having her gallbladder fail her or massive gallstone formation, so... I mean, don't you believe in the term full disclosure, where you kind of play out pros and cons of everything?
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever had a woman call me on the phone and say, Dr. Morgan, you totally messed me up when I took chaste tree.
No, I don't believe that.
No, that just does not happen.
No.
I mean, I have plenty of things that I use where people call me and say, Really, Dr. Morgan? That was the worst tasting thing that I've ever tasted before. Are you sure?
Yeah, maybe.
So that part, but could be true.
Yeah, well.
Chase tree and cramp bark, that would be something that would be very, potentially very, very life-changing for her. The other thing that I want her to think about is, and I know I'm just being simple here, but I like it that way. There is a mineral called magnesium.
Oh, we are always stashed in the cupboard for that.
Does she, if she takes too much magnesium, does that result in maybe loosening her bowels a bit?
No, that she doesn't, under, even if I say it, if I tell her to, but she forgets.
Well, and but that's probably what I would look for if it were me.
Okay.
I would probably try to find out at what level of taking magnesium does she start to, all right, you know it's Saturday morning. People.
Right, I understand where you're going there, yeah.
And so I would probably push the equation, say, sweetheart, let's just do an experiment here. Why don't we give you 2 tablets of magnesium before you go to bed and 2 when you wake up in the morning and 2 for lunch and say, would you just tell me if you start having like a little bit looser BMs than maybe what normal is? At least we can kind of figure out what her saturation rate is, and I'm open-minded, so if it takes, you know, 3 capsules or 4 or 5 or whatever the number is, I kind of want to find out what that saturation point is and just kind of back off by 1 because... In the real world, we kind of needed to come to the agreement that every human being is different.
Right.
And she may have legitimately a higher need for magnesium than, say, another girl. You could have 2 daughters. They could be twins.
And actually, they're yet different, yes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, twins are... Wait, yeah. Are we talking about identical twins? But, but yeah, but how old is she again?
16.
Oh, she's just a young babe.
Yeah.
Is she just nearly perfect?
Yes.
You probably tell her that all the time, don't you?
Well, I don't tell her because, but I think so.
Oh, well, that's the only thing that matters then. She can just feel the good vibes coming off her mama when she thinks of good thoughts about her, right?
I hope so.
The other thing that I really try to hit hard, and I'm just a huge component that the father of medicine, his name was Hippocrates. He has a very famous quote, and I'll quote and say, let thy food be thy medicine, and let thy medicine be thy food.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my word. Thousands of years ago he said that, and it's proven to be more true now than ever before. If we'll only listen to, you know, tremendous experience and logic and reasoning and common sense that stood the test of time, but it couldn't be more true than if, you know, somebody, Jesus Christ said it, but right. Hippocrates was right about that.
Yes, he was.
And so, if I had my way, any time that there's severe cramps and hormone dysregulation, I know how to make them worse. I know for a fact, the more sugar and starch that I give a young girl with those problems, I can definitely make every system and hormone producing gland function more poorly. I can make the whole body more inflamed and worse.
I see.
Which, in the way to counter this is, if I had my way, not everybody likes vegetables, but I really recommend vegetables because that's a tremendous delivery system for nutrients.
Uh-huh. Yes,
but I really try to cut down on the soft drinks, and I'd do away with them if it were me, but, you know.
Right.
She may not be living her life to please me. She's probably good.
Well, we don't. When it comes to soda pop, we don't really drink much of that at all.
Good.
We go with water, sometimes iced tea, but that's pretty much it.
Well, even if she, I went to the store the other day, and limes were 5 for $1.
Wow.
You talk about delicious. I could drink lime juice every. Well, excuse me. I could. You know, squeeze lime juice into a glass of water and call that just a great beverage every single day.
Yes.
So I think I would look at those things. There's a lot of other things to talk about, but I think if you looked at those, you know, 3 or 4 things that I've talked about, I think that you'll almost instantly see a huge difference. And if that doesn't fix the issue, then one of the things that I know for a fact that I would look at the potential that she's eating one food, I don't know what that is, but one particular food that may be generating inflammation. And that inflammation is kind of settling in the ovaries and the uterus. Now, I can't always explain why it goes to one organ or the other, but if a man walked in the door and he says, Dr. Morgan, I have continual chest pain, my heart, it's irregular, it's not beating right, I've got an arrhythmia, it stops for a few seconds, it starts back up, I just don't like it, I feel horrible. But if I discover that he's eating a food that's counterproductive to healing of the heart, don't you think I'm going to tell him?
Oh, I see, yes.
And so try these things right here and tell me if she improves.
Okay. One question about the cramp bark that you mentioned.
Yeah.
What does it come in, like,
any way that you want. If you want to get it in tea form.
Tea form, okay.
Yeah, but I don't think that tastes good.
Oh.
You know what? I wish I hadn't said that, because I could have just let it surprise your daughter where she goes, Mom, really? Did you make this from cramp bark, or is it from a dead rat? What did Dr.
Yeah, she might complain about it.
But I would venture a guess for a 16-year-old girl, we'd probably need to look at either capsule or tablet form.
Okay.
Because if we can kind of get this into her without her, you know, crinkling her face by, you know, rolling her eyes while she's taking it like gross.
Yes.
We might have a little bit more success if we can get it in her.
Right.
Yeah, see how, did you catch how clever I was? If we can get it in her, it might work. But if she spits it out, it probably will not work.
All right. Well, thank you so very much, Doctor.
Oh, yeah, you're welcome. I really appreciate your phone call, and I hope this is a great year for your family, and much blessings to you.
Happy New Year to you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
All right, there is a phone line open at 903-586-5257. If you'd like to join me on the radio with a question or a comment, please do so. Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you turn your radio down yet?
Yes.
Okay, good. Good job.
Doctor, I have a question. Are you familiar with Morgellons disease?
Somewhat, yes.
I think I'm a victim of that.
Well, please give me all the information you can. Help me out here.
Okay, I have a couple of places on my right hand that it's a white, thick, like a skin. You peel it off and it leaves a little crater, doesn't bleed, and then it reforms. And then I've got a place on my left ear on the edge of it, about midway, where it feels like a glass shard. It forms, and it only takes a day or two. It forms, and it's really one of those agitating things. You pick at it, and you're kind of compelled to pick at it.
Oh, yeah.
And it hurts. And eventually, you can... I take a pair of tweezers and just grip it like a pair of pliers and yank it off. And when I do that, well, it's no longer painful, but it just seems to have, it's very tenacious in the way it hangs on. You would think it was just a piece of bone or something.
You know what, I'm looking at the Mayo Clinic website right now, and the title of this article is Morgellons Disease, Managing a Mysterious Skin Condition. And it says right here there's a possible link between Morgellons and infection with Borrelia spirochetes. Let me see it right here. You know, if I had one penny deposited in my bank account, every time that I did a literature search on something, just to have them say, we don't know what causes it, we're not sure what to do about it, we don't have anything to say about it, and I'm going, man, that's just got to be maddening, because if you don't know what the root cause of a disease is or how to help a person get better, then what you're left with is just pouring drugs. Like, I haven't even read what the treatments are for it yet, Oh, it's saying antidepressants. It says you need some mental health therapy. Is that what you want me to tell you?
Well, that's what I've read. I've tried to research it myself.
But let me say it this way. Would you agree with me? There was a time in your... I'm putting the Mayo Clinic website down. I don't even want to look at it, to be honest with you, because I don't want to have any predetermined, conclusion or idea of what's causing what. But I like information, though. So, was there a time in your life that you did not suffer with this and did not have any skin issues at all?
Most of my life.
Okay. There
are... 78, and this is just... happened in, on my ear the last year, but on my hand, that's been there for about 3 years.
Okay, so would you agree with me that your body was in much better repair the first 77 years of your life?
Yes.
I mean, free from this skin condition, Morgellons, right?
Right.
Okay. The skin, in my mind, is a very, very complex, sophisticated organ system. I may not have anybody agree with me, but the more that I study the skin, I think, oh my word, it does a lot more than what we think it does. Now, when I was in school, this could have been a few decades ago, but I mean, you're not judging me if it was 30 years ago, are you?
No.
Okay, good. I've probably forgotten a lot of what I studied. Maybe we shouldn't talk about that part. But when I was in school, one of the very first things that we studied in great detail in neurology class was what's called the parasympathetic nervous system. Sometimes it's called the autonomic nervous system. And let me give you an example. When you go to sleep at night and you lay in your bed, do you wake up every 10 seconds with your alarm clock to remind yourself to breathe oxygen and remind your heart to beat and, blood to flow? No, you don't do any of that stuff, do you?
No.
And so all these systems are under the control of the autonomic nervous system, but I would say especially the skin. Oh, my word, the skin has tremendous autonomic nerve innervation. So a lot of the healing and the repair and the regulation of your skin, it completely takes place without you having to think about it. I mean, if this was just as simple as me saying, sir, all I want you to do is just concentrate on that skin lesion on your hand or on your ear, and it will go away because all of a sudden your body will mount a, healing energy and it'll go right there. But that's not the case. But when I see skin conditions, I cannot help but think that maybe the parasympathetic nervous system is just getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Now, in saying that, I don't know what the cause of your deal is. I just know what I would do if I were in your shoes. And let me just kind of break it down to you. The skin is composed of very, 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 very many things, but let me just kind of break it down differently. We have multiple layers of skin. You have the epidermis, you have the dermis, but in those you have seven distinctive layers.
Mm-hmm.
Each one plays a different role, just like we might have 7 days in the week. I think you remember the old joke from Texas A&M, don't you?
I know several of them.
Well, the one I'm referring to, if you attended one university, you would have seven pair of underwear, and it would represent one for Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But if you attended A&M, you might just have 12 pair of underwear, and that would be for January, February. Never mind. I'm getting off on the wrong track here. But you have seven layers of skin, and a lot of what the skin does, the skin is just a tremendous protective barrier. If you told me that in Old Testament times there was a great wall built around Jerusalem, you'd say, oh, really? The Assyrian army is approaching. There's 186,000, or was it 187,000? I can't remember the size of the force, but they basically surrounded Jerusalem, and King Hezekiah, they've got a blockade of the city, and he's looking out, he's probably thinking, thank the good Lord we have a very high wall around the city and all the gates are reinforced. But, that's what your skin is. Now, if we look at the story of Nehemiah, wasn't there something pretty important on his heart to take care of when the wall was broken down? So your skin is this tremendous protective barrier. It prevents infection. But if your skin is showing symptoms, I'd say we need to get after that right now. So the skin has a very high level of fat in it. I never understand it, but I have people tell me strange stuff all the time, but I have people tell me there is no way that I'm going to eat the crispy skin on the outside of that chicken. That's gross. I don't like it. It's full of fat. My doctor tells me fat's bad for me, and I'm thinking, you know, that's the very thing that you need right now with your skin condition is we need to give you collagen. Mm-hmm. So let me give you one simple idea, and if I'm too wordy, you tell me to stop and back it up and start over, because I really would like to help you. But one of the things that your skin is made of, it is made of a substance called collagen. Now, there is no way on God's green earth that I can name off the top of my head every form of collagen. How about I say type 1 through type 26.A? I don't even remember all the names now. I could probably look them up for you if you gave me enough time. But collagen would be like the frame of a house. If we took all the 2x4s out of the house and all the lumber, well, what would happen? Everything would collapse on top of you, wouldn't it? So collagen's like the scaffolding or the structural framework. It is literally what everything in your body attaches to. So if I told you, minus the water, your body has the heaviest proportion of your body would be amino acids, which are going to be the basic building blocks of collagen. But I would say with more gallons, if it were me, I would look at a need for collagen because that's a repair protein. Now, I know I'm going to go down a different pathway here, so I don't want to lose you, but have you ever seen a picture of what leprosy looks like?
Yes.
It's just one of those things. You cannot erase it from your mind once you've seen it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've got a picture that's in black and white in my mind right now, and I just really wish that I hadn't seen it. But that's a collagen disease. And so when the skin breaks down at a faster rate and the collagen breaks down, you can actually have parts of the skin break away from the body. I mean, do you remember the story of Naaman, where he was instructed to dip in the River Jordan 7 times for his leprosy to be cured?
Yes.
What I'm going to ask you, just tell me your honest opinion. What would have happened to Naaman had he only dipped in the River Jordan 2 times?
Nothing.
Yeah, I agree with you. At least I'm choosing to believe that. But that's a pretty consistent theme, is when you obey, good things happen. When you do not, bad things happen, right? Mm-hmm. Or a lack of results. But leprosy is a collagen synthesis disease. And obviously, when you have... Now, I'm not trying to say I know for a fact this is due to an infection, but my goal is to strengthen you to where your body can repair at a faster rate than break down. So any time that we have symptoms, especially annoying symptoms like, are you kidding me? I've got this crusty white patch here, and I scrape it off, and it leaves a crater. It's driving me crazy. I feel like there's bugs or itching. That would irritate me. How do you think I would feel if I had this? I'd be the same with you. But there's an herb called Go-To Cola. Yes, I think that I would probably do some heavy researcher look into that particular herb and tell me what you come up with and if you're pleased and satisfied with what I'm telling you. But going back to collagen, when men eat T-bone steaks and the steak is and there's meat wrapped around that part of the bone that looks like a T, if you use your imagination, I mean, that's going to be a good source of collagen.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody tells me they want to eat crispy chicken skin if a beautiful woman showed up at your house with a baked chicken and they put it in front of you, would you eat it?
I probably would.
But just to be nice, though, right?
No.
Well, when you eat the chicken skin and there's meat attached to a bone, that's going to be a richer source of collagen. And you know one thing that I think I've done a pretty good job of? I have not watched any TV at all since I watched the election results back in November. I'm convinced I'm a happier person. I just feel like it's a waste of time for me, so I spend more time reading, which is good. But to make a long story short, I remember watching one program on TV, and I think it was one of those interesting science programs called How It's Made. Mm-hmm. But they showed how they made Jell-O. And I tell you, it's no big mystery. Do you know how they make Jell-O? They take pig skins, and they put them in this huge vat, and they boil those suckers down, and they're getting the gelatin or the collagen off of them. And if I'm not mistaken, that's going to be the vast majority of all gelatin is going to come from pig skins. Hmm. Now, I'm not telling you how to believe, you know, from the Levitical laws of the Old Testament until now. Whatever you say is fine by me. I'm not going to argue with you. But what you need right now is you need collagen, because collagen always goes to where it's needed. And that's under the control of the autonomic nervous system. But I would say we need to strengthen your autonomic nervous system. I would say we want to flood your skin with nutrients. But I want to run through the potential that you may have some type of low-grade bug or inflammatory response from your diet that's keeping your body from healing. So you can actually, if you want to, you can buy collagen online. You don't have to spend every waking moment boiling, you know, knuckle joints and ribs and bones. I like doing that. Let me rephrase that. Can I start over? Because I just nearly put my foot in my mouth. I like it when my wife does that, because she does that. See how I gave her the credit? Because I actually don't do that. You know what I actually do? I'll help pour it in jars before you put it in the freezer when she makes bone broth.
Uh-huh.
That's as much as I do. She's the one that cuts up all the celery and all the onions and all the carrots and parsley and cilantro. And what else does she put in there? Apple cider vinegar and bones. But I'll sure drink it. When she makes soup every week, I'll sure eat it. But that's going to be a rich source of collagen in the broth.
My wife does that.
Well, that's really what I meant by a beautiful girl showing up at the house with a chicken.
Well, she stays in the house.
Good.
She's there all the time.
Now, let me ask you this. If she were to serve you a chicken, would it be with the left hand or the right hand?
Well, she doesn't serve a chicken that way.
Well, that's the wrong answer. Does she smile when she serves you chicken?
Oh, she's got a beautiful smile.
Oh, well, that covers everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard that smiles can be infectious?
Oh, they are.
Do you think you can tell by listening to a person's voice whether they're smiling or not?
Sometimes.
All right, you tell me, do you think I'm smiling right now?
Yes.
Of course. I just think that's so funny. So if you will look into the herb Go-To Cola, if you will consider taking collagen, and there's a lot of forms of collagen. One of the problems with getting collagen from a store sometimes is it tastes like you're licking a sheep's hoof that's been out in the pen or on the side of a cesspool for about 5 days straight, which doesn't appeal to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I think sometimes? I think, Roy, how are you going to get anybody else to do this? It almost made you gag and barf and throw up, and I feel like I can do anything. There's just about nothing that you could tell me, dietarily or nutritionally, that I haven't been willing to try. But the collagen from one or two sources I've tried in the past, I mean, it just about gagged me. I mean, I feel like I have a cast iron stomach. I could probably pulverize anything, but this, no thank you. There's a brand, though, called Great Lakes. It's going to be, the brand is Great Lakes. Just think of Michigan. That probably gets you to the name Great Lakes. And it's called Hydrolyzed Collagen, and I think maybe it says / gelatin. But it's going to be from a complete kosher bovine or beef source. But this,
mm-hmm.
But if you get the one that's the green label, that stuff mixes in with water real easily. Now, the next thing, I'm not trying to tell you your business, but I like the taste of beets. I have people every single day in the office, would you eat an avocado? Yuck, I will not be eating it. Do you like eggs? No. Do you like coconut oil? No. Do you like beets? No. I'm trying to find a way to tweak their DNA to where their body can heal and get better and stronger. But I like beets. And for me, if I take a little bitty scoop, and it doesn't take much, of beet powder, and I stir it in with the collagen, well, I can just drink it right down. I don't even think I taste the collagen. I can taste the beets because they taste like dirt. They taste earthy.
Yeah. But I love beets.
Well, that might be one thing that you might look at, because one thing that will happen if you consume beets, they contain nitrates. And nitrates are the basis for your body generating nitric oxide. And nitric oxide is going to help get more oxygen to your skin.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to find a way to heal you. Every pathway that you could run past me that has to do with healing, guess what all of it requires? Oxygen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the last time I checked, if blood flow comes to a screeching halt for like 2 or 3 days straight, that doesn't go so well. We need blood to keep moving. As a general rule, the more that blood flows through the arteries and the veins, the better everything works out. Now, let me switch gears one more time because I'm really interested in helping you. Not that long ago, I read an article about all these sulfur-rich springs or mineral water retreats all over Germany. There's a bunch of them. But when people have bad skin conditions that don't heal and don't respond to drugs and therapies, guess what they do? They go there. Now, I'm not telling you to go to Sulphur Springs, Texas today, or another place would be Hot Springs, Arkansas. You ever heard of Hot Springs, Arkansas?
Been there a number of times.
Are you thinking about going today?
No.
I mean, 30 below zero. Are you going to let 30 below zero keep you from having fun? Well, these springs or these mineral baths are very high in sulfur, and the skin requires sulfur. And I always think for really unusual skin conditions, I want to give sulfur, sulfur, sulfur. And so if you go soak in the bath, you can do sulfur. But if you're not gonna follow my instructions and drive to Hot Springs today, then your plan B is using what's called magnesium sulfate or Epsom's salt.
Okay.
When I walked by the pharmacy in the Walmart the other day, they had bags of Epsom salt, and I think one of the things I saw on the label was, or the bag, it's good for adding to your garden. And I thought, you know what? They're right about that.
I do that.
Well, if you will, take a bath in Epsom salts and see what happens to your skin.
Okay.
But see, I always think that Epsom salt is very good for drawing impurities out of the skin. You know what else has sulfur in it? Coconut.
We take coconut oil almost every morning.
I know what
I do. Our oatmeal.
I'm going to give you 2 or 3 ideas of what I'd do if it were me, and I don't know anything about what you're dealing with, because there's got to be more connections than what I can come up with. But if it were me, if I had one of those skin patches come up, I'd probably put a Band-Aid with some honey on it and just put on top of it. Or I might put a Band-Aid with castor oil. Or I might take a Band-Aid covered in, generous, delicious coconut oil on top of it and just see if that causes it to heal a whole lot faster than what it is right now.
Okay, I have used olive oil doing that very thing.
Does that help?
It didn't seem to.
Well, at least you put it to the test, right?
Right. One of the things that I had read was, several articles that I had read seemed to think that it was had to do with nanoparticles.
Well, you mean specifically from some type of exogenous source?
Yes, and...
But you're not putting sunscreen all over your skin, are you?
No.
Have you done a lot of that in the past?
No, not a lot.
Well, what did they say was the greatest source of nanoparticles if it wasn't sunscreen?
Chemtrails.
Oh, okay. Is that why your wife stays inside the house all the time?
Okay.
Well, and I don't know the answer to that exactly. I've heard a lot of information, but I don't know that I really have a really great opinion one way or the other.
I have a a little EMP generator, electromagnetic pulse, and that has given me relief when I use it on my ear.
Mm-hmm.
It actually seemed like it'll heal up.
Well, and all you're doing is you're probably that device you have. It's imitating that electromagnetic frequency that's just generated by the Earth. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. The Earth has its own unique frequency.
Right.
Could you imagine if you were living in the top of Trump Tower right now with all that electronic garbage going on? It'd probably be hard to heal. That's why you need to be, you know, close to the dirt.
Yeah.
I do think, though, that I've seen some very interesting healing take place when people go to the hot springs, though.
Yeah, that's a great place.
Cool. Do you think it's a little cold to be outside right now in a hot spring? Just a little?
Well, it takes quite an effort to get in one of those things. For me.
Well, they'd probably tell, if I asked them where the easiest one to get to, I'd probably have to hike over a mountain pass in a blistering, you know, blizzard. So,
yeah.
Well, I wish you the very, very best. If you will examine these and take a look at them, let me know what you think.
Okay, I will. Thank you for the
you're welcome.
Information, and we'll see how it works out.
Okay, sounds like a winner. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I have several compounds that I use that are made from the skin of animals. I know that may sound kind of gross, but these protomorphogens sometimes would be the greatest thing that I've ever seen work when it comes to telling your body to stop attacking the skin and help it to heal quickly. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Morgan. I have had a terrible headache since this cold front's been coming in.
Oh, bless your heart.
And I've heard that, well, only 5 feet tall, just barely gave enough to give blood for the first time in years.
Really? Okay.
But the point is that I've heard that small people have small arteries, and I'm wondering, well, maybe they have small sinuses, and maybe that's why they get stopped up when they go in a plane, which isn't very often. Well, we know these cold fronts come in, but, and when I've had some, able to get irrigated with salt water and...
Does that do anything?
Yeah, it does. I know I made up myself with the sea salt and the...
well, that's what I do. I totally make my own.
But all the drainage is clear, so there's no infection. I don't think there's any infection, but is there anything else that might help?
Well, is that your gut instinct that it's primarily coming from your sinuses that are swollen or they're tugging or pulling hard?
Yes.
Okay. I'm going to tell you about a technique. I'm not saying you're going to like it, or you may actually... Let me ask you a question. Do you like me right now?
I still do.
Okay, well, you may not like me after I tell you this one. One of the techniques to quickly release all those swollen sinuses is to rub a few drops of freshly squeezed lemon juice into your nostrils and kind of snort it in. And if your headache completely goes away within about, 10 minutes, I'd say it worked. Now, look, just in case you don't like that one, I'm going to give you some other ideas, okay?
Okay.
It's brutal, and I'm only telling you what I would do. So it's not like I haven't done this a bunch of times myself. So I always feel like I'm my own guinea pig before I do anything with anybody else.
Don't feel bad. The first time I tried oregano oil, I did not dilute it, and I was
yes. Oh, did you? Now, did they have to bring you back to life at the ER, or did you survive that? Just barely, right?
No, I just had to do something to dilute that in my throat.
Well, what I was going to say is, for the sinuses, there's two things that I've experimented, but the one that I've experimented with the most, or tried the most, that I think works instantly, is maybe two drops of eucalyptus oil in your sinus rinse.
Oh, I love eucalyptus, and I have that.
Well, and maybe you should start with one drop. Maybe I should say, can you take a knife and cut a drop in half and try half a drop? Okay, well, just give it a go, and you may tell me that gives you tremendous relief. The other thing that I would probably do, and don't laugh at me, but sometimes all I have to do is just take French's yellow mustard and just rub it over the sinuses, and that's enough to release everything. Or sometimes I can use castor oil and get a good result. But I'm a firm believer that if I had a really significant headache, I'm just going to make this sound simple. You know what a Charlie horse is in the calf, don't you?
I don't think I've had one in my life.
But it'd be like a real bad spasm or cramp in your calf muscle, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, sometimes I think the sinuses draw up, and it's almost like they get this death grip where they're tight and inflamed, and that just generates horrible pain. So I'm trying to release them or help them to let go. And so if these other techniques do not work, one thing that you can do is you can just do a steam bath. And a steam bath can be very, very effective. And the way that I would probably recreate that is if you have a tea kettle, just, you know.
Oh, vinegar.
No, it doesn't have to be vinegar. I mean, you can try it if you want to add a little bit of vinegar, but it's principally water. If you want to put a spoonful of vinegar in there, but what I want you to do is in your tea kettle, just get it boiling, you know, like there's no tomorrow, and steam will mm-hmm. be coming out of that throat or the spout or the jacket, and just aim it towards your face, but you're probably going to have to stand like a foot and a half away. But did you say 5 foot tall or 6 foot tall? I don't remember now.
Five.
You're probably going to have to get a step stool so you can get the angle just right. And if you want to put like a towel over your head or, you know, a dish towel or something, you're trying to capture that steam and you want to breathe deeply in through your nose. And what happens is that's going to help relax. Have you ever heard of putting heat on a spasm? It works in a very similar fashion. So you can do that to see if it relieves your headache. The other thing that I might do, I know this is crazy talk, I'd probably take like a half a teaspoon of Arm & Hammer baking soda, stir it in a glass of water, and drink it down.
Hey, I'm willing to try anything. I never had headaches in my life until we lived near the coast about 45 years ago.
Oh, wow.
The air was so dirty, I started having sinus headaches, and that's when I'd say that's a reminder. When you feel so bad, you forget all these things you can do. And I got some ephedra twigs and put them in the water because I had this little book about herbs, very old book about.
Sometimes those are the best ones.
Yeah, and said, and then drink it. You know, steam it, put the towel over the head. And I thought, drink it? Oh, that's weird. Squaw tea or Mormon tea. I'd never taken the pseudoephedrine in my life.
Squaw tea is probably the same as cramp bark. I think that's another name for cramp bark is squaw tea. So if you
Is ephedra.
Oh, ephedra? Okay.
It was real ephedra twigs. It wasn't pseudo. It was a real thing.
But usually that's what Indian warriors had to do for their squaws. They had to give them ephedra because they smelled so bad from never bathing. They had to give them something to kind of change the equation. Anyway, let's get off that topic real quick. Let's go back to what you're talking about.
But it opened up my head, and I'd forgotten about that steaming over the pot
yes, potentially you could get burned really bad, but are you really going to hold your face a half inch away from the kettle?
I used to do that years ago. I had forgotten about doing that.
Well, just give yourself a 10-minute steam breathing treatment. Okay. You know, if your husband really, really loved you, he would make a steam, you know, sauna for you right now in the garage.
Oh, I love that. Oh, in fact, that's what I did. I would go to a sauna, and that would clear my head out, too.
Okay, good. Well, I stir up your mind by way of remembrance, so there you have it.
Another thing I do now, if we go to the Olympic Center and go swimming, I can't stand the water in my ears, my nose, my eyes, anything. So I would wear a mask over my nose, but I would go down to the bottom of the pool, and it would create extreme pain, you know, with the problem already. And then I would pop my ears down there. Then when I come back up, it hurt again, and I'd pop my ears. But popping my ears isn't enough. So I'll tell the steam.
Are you a mermaid?
Not quite, but I do love swimming.
Okay, cool. Well, let me know how it works out.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Alrighty, I'm going to read to you a brief article. It says, Meet Dr. Big by Tamara Strauss. Dr. Healy, M.D., professor of medicine at Cardiff University School of Medicine, has serious concerns about drug-based healthcare and the public's lack of information regarding the risk of pharmaceuticals. You know, this is just where I'm adding on to it. These things always sound different when it comes straight from the horse's mouth, doesn't it? Journalist Tamara Strauss, in an article on the subject, writes, and I quote, "A Stanford University professor of medicine who prefers to remain anonymous stated, the reason for the increase in prescription drug use is that the entire Western medical complex is run by pharmaceutical companies. The medical training in Western medical schools is largely about learning which drugs to treat which diseases." And this is where I'm injecting again, or interjecting. So let me ask you, as the radio audience or as listeners, do you believe that's true, or do you think that's just a falsehood? I'll let you decide. We're going back to Professor of Medicine, Dr. David Healy. Dr. Healy describes the atmosphere amongst medical doctors, and I quote him, "There is a climate of fear," he said. "You find that they are very nervous about saying anything about drug treatments or adverse effects of drugs at all. Doctors keep patients on lots of drugs, even if they are uncomfortable with it." See, that just disturbs me. Why would you continue to do something if you knew... Okay, I'm going to get off that. Doctors keep giving patients on... Or doctors keep patients on lots of drugs, even if they are uncomfortable with it. And if you ask them why they're doing so, the answer you'll get is, and I quote, "Well, this is the standard of care, and if I don't take care of it this way, I'm going to be in an awful lot of trouble." So, who are we putting first here? Marcia Angel, former editor-in-chief of the New England Journal of Medicine. I'm telling you, folks, it's a very prestigious, high-ranking position. She states, and I quote her, "The industry-sponsored studies usually cited to support psychoactive drugs tend to be short-term, and they're always designed to favor the drug and to show benefits so small that they are unlikely to outweigh the long-term harm they cause." I can't make that up, folks. Both the pharmaceutical industry and the psychiatry profession have strong financial interest in convincing the public that drug treatment is safe and the most effective treatment for mental illness. Well, I find that very interesting. You mean there could be more to the story than what we're told? Oh, yes. Have you ever heard the phrase that if the only tool you have in your toolbox is a hammer, then everything has got to be a nail? Oh, boy. Okay. I may be wrong, but I think when you... Okay, I just stopped myself. I am not going to say that. I'm going to try to be positive, positive, positive. We're just about completely out of time. See, I caught myself. See, that's I'm maturing. I'm getting better. You're listening to KBGS FM 90.3, Jacksonville, Tyler, and Longview.